Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
I'm really excited this morning to introduce our special guests, and that's plural. We're very blessed this morning. I had that reminder during the week, you know, of all the places on this planet that these guys could be, that they're with us this morning. And I think that's really, really cool. And you're going to find out why in just a sec, because these guys are men of many talents. But Lamont O'Neill is part of the Christian Cultural Center in Brooklyn, in New York, a very learned man, studied philosophy, Hispanic studies, Spanish linguistics. Any Spanish people speaking people out there, I'm sure you can have a good chat later. And also, on top of that, jazz improvisation. So being a teacher and moved back to Queens and has established a ministry called the Nubian Gents and takes a group of young guys around the world and exposing them not just to travel but to life and encouraging them to experience life and to stay open to a whole lifelong journey of learning and seeing these young guys become all that they were destined and purposed in God to be. And also a female dance group has actually started up as well. And so we're very blessed to have Lamont O'Neill, but also Jazeel is with him traveling today. He's part of the Nubian Gents, is that right? So, you know, it is a great honour and privilege to be able to welcome Lamont O'Neill. Let's put our hands together.
Cool, man. Bless you, brother. Hallelujah. Good morning. Isn't it a great morning? Isn't it a wonderful morning? God is good. And all the time. I just wanted to see if you guys are familiar with that. Let's try it again. God is good. And all the time. And listen, it's important for you to say that. Words have creative power. Words have creative power. It's important for you to start the day saying something like that, that resounds like that. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. It's a wonderful day. It's a great day, even when you don't necessarily feel so. Words have creative power. Listen, life and death is in the power of your tongue. Your words create the world within which you live. It's so true. It's so true. We're so honored to be here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We have been welcomed with love from the first time we walked in the door. We've been overwhelmed as well. Where's Nikki at? Nikki, I love Nikki. She came with so much energy. She was like, hey, how y'all doing? I was like, yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. Awesome, awesome. And my South African brother back there. Woo! Not too many people can sing Montel Jordan on a Sunday morning, bro. You are the man. You are the man. No, just everyone. Thank you so very much. We have just been overwhelmed. We get excited about every opportunity. And I say we because I come representing home, my pastor, A.R. Bernard Sr., who is the senior pastor of Christian Cultural Center in Brooklyn, and as well as the ministry that I've had the wonderful, wonderful honor to serve, the Nubian Gents and Feminine Fire. I actually met them in school. I'm a school teacher, guys. I'm a public school teacher, have been teaching for close to 18, 19 years. Yes, that's why I have no hair. I'm old. And these guys are so amazing. I saw them. I met them way back then there when, and just decided that I wanted to bring something to them to elevate them from where they were operating. How many of you know that you can never resolve a problem on the same level in which it was created? That's why God says you got to come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. And I wanted to bring something to them to elevate their way of thinking, their way of acting, and even more importantly, their way of seeing. Seeing. Perspective is everything. Perception is everything. And so we started this thing called the Nubian Gents, and it was just an after-school activity. I invited my students to come on out, and I said, you know, we're going to do some stepping, some dancing. And they were like really hyped for it because, you know, that's what they were really interested in. And it spoke to them. It spoke to them where they were. And it gave them an opportunity to heal. It exposed some things about them that needed to change. But I learned a long time ago, when God exposes something, it's because he intends to heal it. He intends to heal it. God is an amazing God. And if you can leave here this morning with anything, leave here knowing just how amazing God is. And I don't say it as a cliche. There's a whole lot of people that say it as cliches. I don't say it as a cliche. I say it heartfelt as a witness. God is awesome. Never lose the awe of God. Never lose sight. Never lose contact with the awe of God. I love Robin. Because Robin, during the sound check, caught my attention. He was sound checking. But this man was in worship even as he sound checked. Singing. Didn't know all the words. But what he did know, oh my gosh. His eyes were closed. He was playing. He didn't even have a microphone. But you would have thought that he was just like singing before like masses. I mean, he was just in the presence of the King. Even in a sound check, you could see him seeing the awe of God. And it was contagious. We were in the back and it caught our attention. It's wonderful. Don't lose the awe of God. Don't lose the mystery. Because I do believe God wants to take us higher. And to take us higher, sometimes he has to take us deeper. And to take us deeper, sometimes he has to take us out of our comfort area, our comfort zones. That's why I started taking the Nubian Gen 16 years ago. Every summer, we go out. I'm taking them somewhere around the world. Why? Because I want them to learn how to fast. Fast the familiar. You can become so accustomed and crystallize in the familiar, thinking that it's just the way it is and that's how it's always going to be. But man, when you have the courage to step out and trust God and allow him through situation and circumstance to reduce you to a child, then you learn how to depend on God. Oh man, you learn how to trust God. Your faith will be increased. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Come on and worship with me. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is in all. Our God is in awesome. Our God is an awesome God. Come on, lift your voices. Lift your voices. From heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Stop watching me. Our God is an awesome God. He's an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. The first gift that God gave us was life. And the greatest gift that God has given us is access. Access to his heart. I'd like that you would all be teachers, because I believe teachers, in order to be effective, must be worshipers. And that means you can access God 24/7, 365 days of the week. And you don't need to have a particular song nor a particular individual personality in front of you to usher you into the presence of worship. You access that any opportunity you get. You access God's heart. You worship him, worship him, worship him as though your life depends on it, because in reality, life does. God says, I am the one, yes, I created the whole universe. Awesome. Greater than anything in heaven and in all the earth. It's my air you breathe. Everybody take a deep breath. Let it out. Take a deep breath. Let it out. One more. Take a deep breath. Savor it. Hold it. And now let it out. It's my air you breathe. so I'm the one that you should please. You know how people, we always go around trying to please people who really don't matter and in the end really won't even care. I am the one you need. You don't have to be alone. I tell the sun to rise, the wind to blow, even the rain to fall. Oh, come on, see him today. See him, see him, see him. I can move your mountains and your oceans, rivers great and small. Yes, everything I've made and everyone I've made, I've done so that they'd give me praise. And the greatest way to show God thanks is to live a life that gives incredible praise. Why? Because an incredible God deserves incredible praise. Especially you, my children. And we're never too old to be children. Each and every day. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you.
I'm just going to bring it up. Bring the volume up. Yep. Awesome. A little bit more. A little bit more. A little bit more. There you go. Now let's go.
Flame on.
God is amazing. And he wants you to see him as amazing, which means you have to be able to see him outside of the box that we tend to put him in. Trust him. See him. Attitude determines your approach. An approach determines success or failure.
Got a story to tell, and it's good to know. About a man who gave his life, never ever did no wrong. Let me explain the reason why he bowed his head and died so we can have eternal life. He says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Got a story to tell, and it's good to know. About a man who gave his life, never ever did no wrong. Let me explain the reason why he bowed his head and died so we can have eternal life. Us free eternally. We'll tell the world everywhere we go about this love, and everyone should know. He's come back, all that you might have life more abundantly. God has come that all that we might have life more abundantly. Come on, put your hands like this. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Listen, your expression of worship should be heartfelt. A praise should be authentic, should be exuberant, vibrant. says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Life physically, life emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, more abundantly. He did it all for you and me to set us free eternally. We'll tell the world everywhere we go about this love. Everyone should. Hallelujah. Bring it up, Baba. Life. Life. He's not even breathing heavy. You know who the old guy is. We had an opportunity to visit some schools, and that was our objective. We wanted to show them life like they've never seen it before. Not the life that they were living. See, they could already see that with their physical eyes. But to see a life abundant, a life eternal, a life without lack, because even though we may not have everything, we have access to all things, possessors of nothing but stewards of everything. And I wanted to show the kids here that life. And they said, oh, but you can't talk about Jesus. You can't talk about Christian things. How many of you know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? And if you really believe that scripture, then you'll take on the responsibility of articulating the gospel, the message of truth, in a way that does not have to be unnecessarily confrontational. So what I told them, I said, listen, you gotta have a vision, because your vision is your picture of the future. Gotta have a vision. You got to learn to see, not with your eyes. You got to learn to see with your heart. Teachers were like, okay, he's all right, he's all right. He's not saying nothing about Jesus, so he's okay. You got to learn to see with your heart. You got to have vision, because your vision is your picture of the future. And when you have no vision, you have no future. And a person who has no future will always keep running back to their past. Running around in this crazy circle, saying to themselves, how in the world did I get back here? It's because you can't see above where you be. And then I told them this. I said, listen, when you get your vision, then you have access to your purpose. And your purpose is so very important. Purpose is great. But if you don't understand the purpose, you're going to end up abusing that thing. If the purpose of a thing is not clearly understood, abuse is inevitable. If you don't understand the purpose of how a mechanism works, you're going to end up using it for the wrong purpose. And I told me, as much as this applies to a thing, it also applies to your life. If you don't understand how your life is supposed to work, you're going to end up abusing the very, very short time that we really have here on this earth. When God wants you to experience heaven right here on earth. Purpose. Knowing your purpose gives you access to that. And then I told them the last one. I said, this is going to be a tough one. This is going to be a hard one for you guys. But it's okay. Sometimes the truth can be a little confrontational. Just a little. I said, last one. What you build, you must protect. suffer the pain of discipline, or you will suffer the pain of regret. You can hear a pin drop. Because kids don't like discipline. It hurts. Doesn't it, Giselle? It's very uncomfortable. But I said, no, don't worry. Discipline may not feel good, but it doesn't feel half as bad as the pain of regret. When you think about all the things you missed out on because you wouldn't submit. Discipline is the bridge between thought and accomplishment. Discipline is the only thing that's going to get you from where you are to where I see you. Couldn't say the Jesus thing, remember? No God. I see you. And I saw them turning on like, oh, yeah, I kind of got this. And I tried to make, I said, but I don't want to stop there. No, I don't want to stop there. I want to speak to all of your senses. So I said, yo, what you build, you must protect. Suffer pain of discipline or pain of regret. I'll say it again. What you build, you must protect. Suffer pain of discipline or pain of regret. Then I went another step. I said, what you build, you must protect. Suffer pain of discipline or pain of regret. I'm not going to step on your shoes, I promise. Nice shoes, though, bro. What you build, you must protect. Suffer pain of discipline or pain of regret. It's still here. A pin drop. And I said, what I'm trying to say is this. Every day of your life, you're building. Your families, you're building. Financial, you're building. Even your health, you need to build. It's amazing how we talk about worship being a lifestyle, but we only give God just part of that worship, part of that life. We'll worship him real hard, but our lives are a mess. We're a mess financially. We're a mess physically. We don't worship God in our bodies, our health. So God has an anointing and a calling on your life, but your body can't even carry the weight of your own anointing. Discipline. But I digress. Back to the kids. Every day of your life, you're building. Every day of your life, you're building. But guess what? You have to protect what you're building. Because if you don't protect what you're building, the situations and circumstances of life will just water it away. And discipline protects what you're building. Discipline protects your life. And I saw they had it. They got it. And then I said, guys, I want you to know that we're playing a lot of songs and doing a lot of dancing and working up a big sweat. Some of us need oxygen more than others. But we're not bringing anything that was not already here. There. We're not bringing anything that's not already there. We may be doing a little acrobatics and to kind of inspire it to come out. But it's already here. The revelation has already been here. People have come and told you this. You're not hearing this for the first time. But for some reason, we keep going back to doing the same things the same way. So then that moment becomes just a moment instead of an experience that actually changes and transforms the way we live. Doubt and unbelief creeps in. Setbacks come in. The unexpected comes in. And the minute you walk out that door, real life begins. This is okay for that church thing. No, it's not. This is you. This is you. This is you. This is you. And this is how much God loves you. And this is how much God sees in you. That he would even call us all the way from
Brooklyn and Queens to say, it's already there. What you're searching for, it's already there. You don't have to search anymore. Just open your eyes and believe, that it's true. It's already there inside of you. Spend your days hoping, spend your nights wishing, you always feeling something is missing. Can't you see? Don't you know that you don't have so far to go? It's already there. What you're looking for, it's already there. Don't have to search anymore. Open your eyes, believe that it's true. It's already there inside of you. You spend your time thinking that you'll never make it. Everyone loves you, oh, but your heart's always breaking. In my eyes, see what I see. You're beautiful to me. It's already there. What you're looking for, it's already there. Don't have to search anymore. Open your eyes, just let it come through. It's already there inside of you. You keep looking outside yourself, but you won't find it anywhere else. It's already there. What you're looking for, it's already there. Don't have to search anymore. So open your eyes, just let it come through. It's already there. Already there inside of you.
Thank you, John. Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right. Here we go. Testing 1, 2. All right. Now, for the benefit of those of you that are saying, listen, I didn't come for a concert. I didn't come for a show. I came for the word of God. Open the eyes of their heart, Lord. Open the eyes of their heart. But in due season, turn real quickly, Acts 5. Acts 5. Chapter 5. No, as a matter of fact, turn first. Let's do something first. Let's go to Acts 4. Acts 4. Chapter 32. How many of you know the Holy Spirit sometimes will teach through brilliant irony? Brilliant irony. Irony does not have to do with getting wrinkles out of your clothes, but rather out of your character. Irony is an incongruence between what is expected and what actually happens. All right? So the degree of irony is determined by how great of a margin there is between what is expected. Expectation sets the atmosphere for miracles. What is expected and what actually takes place. Let me just say, because I got very limited time, that adage, expectation sets the atmosphere for miracles, it's so true. It's so true. And when you receive that, you take on the responsibility that it's not about the experience, it's about your expectations. So if you don't see God, it's not because of the experience, it's because you didn't come expecting to see God. Expectation sets the atmosphere for miracles. But I digress. Here we are. They had everything in common. Verse 32, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of these things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Everyone repeat after me. Agreement is the place of power. Agreement is the place of power. And we're seeing that right here. We're seeing a whole bunch of believers, like-minded, like-hearted, one objective, coming together. They believed, they stood together, and there was no lack. Now turn over to Acts 5. Now we're ready for Acts 5. Ananias and Sapphira. But a man named Ananias, verse 5. With his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart, to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? Why? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? Possessors of nothing, but stewards of everything. And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Access. Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Thank God for grace. Because that was back in the day when your mistakes were your last. You made a mistake, it was the last one you would make. At least of that magnitude. Thank God for grace. Somebody say, thank God for grace. Continuing on, verse 7. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? She agreed to disagree. Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out too. Immediately she fell down at her feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. Sapphira agreed to disagree with her husband, to disagree with the Holy Spirit. She decided to agree with her husband, to disagree with the Holy Spirit. Almost because we perceive that being in complete agreement is not possible. It's not accessible. But again, we have a real instance here where the masses were in full agreement. And it was because they believed. Isn't it astounding how we ourselves, even when addressing leadership in a church, we can say things like, well, you know, Pastor, I know you believe you're doing the right thing, but I'm going to have to agree to disagree. I'm here to tell you this morning, that's not the way. That's not the way. Highly opinionated folks are always quick to agree to disagree because of their own doubt and unbelief. But the word of God says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. So that means that something has to die. And more than likely, it's your undying commitment to your own opinion, agreeing to disagree. And refusal to change, once you see change is necessary. Refusal to change your angle of perspective. Your angle of perspective is ignorance, the core of which is really just stubbornness. And I say to you, really, I believe there's nothing more dangerous than a stubborn Christian who sees that change is necessary. When change is necessary, to not change can be destructive. It's time to change. It's time to change the way we see. Here's the formula for greatness in the kingdom. Be quick to forgive, quick to repent, and always teachable. Flexible, teachable, flexible. Be quick to repent, quick to forgive, quick to repent, and always teachable. So where's the brilliant irony in this story? I was just talking about how the Holy Spirit, he teaches with brilliant irony. Where's the brilliant irony? Here you go. Ananias' name means, by grace, God has graciously given. That's what his name meant. And yet there he was, robbing God. Ananias' name means, by grace, God has graciously given to you. So why on earth would you be holding back, aka also known as robbing God? Ananias represents those who respond selfishly to all that God has given. And most times it's because they simply do not believe. They don't believe the word of God. The word of God that says, Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This morning, do not be people whose lives are personified by this irony. We are possessors of everything, possessors of nothing and stewards of everything. Access, access. Is your life in a position of irony? Or are you truly walking in the spirit of gratitude, the spirit of generosity, focused more on what you can give rather than what you can get? Last scripture and we're done. Turn to Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Rob God. Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed God? In your tithes and your contributions. And let me just say, guys, there's a difference between a robber and a thief. There's a difference between the thief steals from you when you're not looking, but the robber has the audacity to do it right in front of your face. Such arrogance. And if it sounds like I'm preaching, teaching and offering messages, because I am. But not just as it applies to the tithe and the offering, but rather instead as it applies to our lives. Lives that are committed to service, committed to being poured out before God. A life that's like the body of Christ, the bread on the communion table. A life that's blessed, a life that's broken, and then a life that's committed to being given. That's the life that we must all aspire to. A life that sees God will ultimately please God. A life that sees God will ultimately please God and be judged accordingly. For with the measure we use, it will be measured back to us. A life that sees God is a life that releases the glory of the Lord into the earth with such power like never before. Every time one sees, God's glory enters the earth. This morning, I pray that you see like never before. This morning, I'm praying that your eyes of your heart are being opened like never before. That you would no longer allow such irony, such incongruence to keep you from walking after the calling that's upon your life and the blessing that God says you will attain if you give your life. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Come on, come on and worship with me. Open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart. Come on, lift your voice. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Do you really want to? I want to see you. To see you high. To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Yeah, yeah, yes. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. I hear you, I hear you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Come on, one mind, one heart, one heart, one heart. Holy, holy, holy. See him. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Father, I pray, oh God, that if there is anyone here who earnestly of their heart, oh God, desires to see you, oh God, that they will not leave this place, oh God, leave this place without you in their hearts. Father, you don't ask for much. You don't ask for much. We need you. Thank you, oh God, for teaching us that if we want to come before you, All you require of us is that we give you our hearts so that you can open its eyes to see the awesome and amazing life that you desire for us. Yes, you are awesome. You are awesome. You are awesome. You are amazing. But what amazing and awesome father wouldn't want the same for his son in every aspect and facet of his being, or for his daughter? Beloved, beautiful, wonderfully made. God, we see you. And we receive who we are. And we rise. We rise. We rise. Not with the spirit of fear. Not with the spirit of timidity, oh God. We rise. We don't have to work, oh God, to be your sons and daughters. We just are. All we have to do is be who we are. We rise in our identity with you. We give you all praise. We give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Oh, come on, give God praise. Bless God. Awesome. Woo! I made a promise. I made a promise. Can I fulfill on a promise? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. It's so true. Listen, an amazing experience stimulates your mind, stirs your heart, and then motivates your will to go out and be the change that you've experienced in your heart. And to send you on your way, if you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, and you, oh, let's just go it. I don't want to scare anybody. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, and you really want to show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, and you really want to show it. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, stand with me. Woo! All righty. Real quickly. He's Jehovah Nisi, our banner. So what better way to end this teaching? I don't know if it's the end of the service, but to end this teaching than to lift our banner up real high. Real high so that the world sees our banner. Don't see us. Sees our banner and know that we already have the victory through Jesus Christ. Amen? All right? Now I need you to just stretch out a little bit. Move out, you know, kind of move out. We're going to do a little dance. Yes, we are. We're going to dance. I believe in dancing, y'all. I believe in dancing. I really do. All right? And I need you real quickly to just clap your hands. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. Awesome. I'm going to take you through a series of levels, if that's okay. Just clap your hands. All right. Oh, come on, my South African brother. Bring it back. Bring it back. Come on. Bring it back. Clap your hands. Come on. Clap your hands. Then what we're going to do after clapping the hands, which is really a praise, it's called taqwa. We're going to add a Barak praise to it. We're going to rock and clap. Rock right and clap. Left and clap. Barak taqwa. Barak taqwa. Barak taqwa. Barak taqwa. Now, praise is wonderful, but you shouldn't stay there. Praise is introductory, but God wants you to have a life that's filled with high praise. High praise to healer praise, which ushers you into the place of worship. So give him high praise. Hands up. High praise. High praise. High praise. High praise. Now, back in the day, we used to have this thing called the soul clap. The soul clap. But we understand that it's not really about the soul. It's about the heart. So I want you to give me a heart clap. Heart clap. Heart clap. Heart clap. Come on. Heart clap. Heart clap. Heart clap. Then I'm going to ask you a question while you rock. I'm going to say, if you like the music, if you like the music, if you like the music, if you like the music. Hold on. It's an if-then clause. That means if you like the music, then you need to do something to show me that you like the music, or at least receive and appreciate what you've heard today. Amen. Lift your banner up, everybody. I want you to wave your banner, wave your banner, wave your banner, wave your, back to rehearsal, here we go. Say, if you like the music, 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 wave your banner, wave your banner, wave your banner, wave your banner. Oh, give yourselves a round of applause just by stepping out on faith. But don't sit down, because that was just rehearsal. Now it's time. Now it's time to communicate it. Amen? Come on, put those hands together like this. Come on, come on. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Come on, come on, come on. Let everything that have breath, while you still have time, praise him here on this earth. Come on, rock right, rock left, rock right, left, rock right, rock left. Here we go, taqwa, tequila, high praise, high praise, high praise, high praise, high praise.
All the Christians, come on, put those hands together like this. We're C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N's. That's how we represent His love, His love, His love. Rock right. Say, if you like the music, 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 just wave your banner, wave your banner, wave your banner, wave your banner. Come on, rock right, rock left, rock right, rock left, rock right, rock left, rock right, rock left, hands up, high up. Come on, high up, come on, high up. Arise, O God. Arise, O God, and let your enemies be scattered from the heart, from the heart, from the heart, from the heart. And you gotta smile while you do it. Come on. Hey, hey, if you like the music, you like the music, you like the music, you like, hands up, in the air, just wave your banner, wave your banner, wave your banner, wave your banner. Come on, say, if you like the music, if you like the music, if you like the music, wave your banner, wave your banner. And now it was told to me, when the enemy comes in like a flood, give it up for Pastor. If you like the music, 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 just wave your banner, wave your banner, wave your banner. Come on, let's walk with it. Three steps to the right. Say, if you like the music, 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 wave your banner, wave your banner, wave your... All the Christians in the house, make some noise! And come on, come on. We love you, oh God. Give it up for Jesus Christ. Whoa! Woohoo! And you may take your seats. You may take your seats.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.